Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Ring, 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 banana phone.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Banana phone.
I've never heard this song before. It's a beauty.
I like it.
I've got my hunches.
It grows in
it's
bunches.
The best. Beats the rest. Cellular, modular, interactive, modular. Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone.
Really gets
banana
you.
Banana phone.
This is going to be my first dance at my wedding.
You are never getting married.
Not with this.
Doesn't mean he's not going to have a wedding.
It ain't a phony. My cellular bananular phone.
So just for, start the show like that, yeah.
They never took off like Apple phones did, of course.
Hello.
Well done.
Hey, shall we start?
All right.
Banana phone.
You don't make friends with salad, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell's here.
He's up.
Pete Donaldson's here.
He's down.
And the meatiest of all the meats, it's Luke Moore!
Based me.
Company, but four's a ramble, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Eminem.
Yes, you are.
Somebody just sent me an email with the subject line "Street Heat."
Oh,
so that's what I'm going to be bringing to the party.
Is that the name of your new rap tune?
Street Heat.
Street Heat.
Pete Street Heat.
Yeah. You still working on Covent Garden?
Streaky Pete. Welcome back, Luke.
Thanks. It's great.
Good to have you back.
Thanks. I'm sad to miss out on so much Jesse Lingard chat.
We did a bit extra for you.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Basically, what happened was...
I was just sat at home listening to Jesse Lingard chat anyway, so it's fine. Yeah.
We cut it short because we thought Luke wants to...
get in on it.
next month's Aircast special is us just talking about Jesse Lingard for an hour.
Yeah.
Basically, I didn't edit out what I should have edited out. But the problem, the thing is, we never edit anything out.
Yeah.
But this on
including
this occasion,
on this occasion,
Jim said, "Let's get rid of the Jesse Lingard," and we never do that, do we, Jim?
No,
like,
we don't.
Never do that. But it's an unfair characterization of what we do.
Okay, it falls to pieces when I'm not here. But I think the listeners knew that anyway. They knew that anyway, Pete.
Because what I would say, like, imagine you listen to the Ramble and you hear them go, "What, they cut stuff out?" Because they leave a lot of crap in, don't they?
Yeah. Oh my God, this is the goal.
I think the living testament to the fact that we don't cut anything out normally is just the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Marcus,
banana phone.
I'm back with the banana phone in my mitt.
Yeah, in your pocket.
Yeah,
because it fits neatly in there.
Yeah.
What a weekend of action, Marcus.
We're going to have to talk about Jesse Lingard again.
Yeah.
After that performance.
Well, we'll see.
At least he's given us something to talk about this time. Yeah, that goal at Watford wasn't enough. So he scored an extra one to get a little bit of extra chat. So well done, Mr. Lingard there.
Yeah. Nice Arsenal, knee slide as well.
It was a lovely knee slide, Jim.
Do you think players practice that? I think I'd struggle to do that.
If I was a manager, I wouldn't want my players doing a knee slide because you see so many times they misjudge it. The pitch,
they're
doing it from maybe isn't as watered as the other part, and they stick in the ground.
Yeah. I'd take my knees right off.
You could dislocate a kneecap.
There was a German player recently who did really badly injure himself, didn't he? A celebration. I'm not sure it was a knee slide, you do see it happen.
Yeah, it does happen. It was a Hertha Berlin player, maybe? That
sounds familiar.
It wasn't a knee slide, you're right.
No, he was doing his famous Stanley knife to the ACL.
That's right.
It was really weird. Yeah. Really weird.
He likes to get a bit of cheese while out and strangle himself.
Yeah. You're right, it was Bernhard Houdini.
He really shouldn't have chained himself up and put himself upside down, submerged in a water tank.
I'm warming to the idea of these celebrations getting more extreme, actually. Yeah.
Who was the bloke set himself on fire?
Arthur, crazy world of Arthur Brown.
Yeah, right, just about he wasn't a player.
No, it's true. He used to dance around with a little fire hat on.
Well, to be fair, though, if you put on a flame-proof suit and set yourself on fire and ran around, I mean, technically, you would be fine.
I mean, by the time you got all that done, they would have taken the kick off.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Jonas had a Spider-Man mask. I think that's about the limit.
That's the limit,
That you can pull out your pants.
We'll see.
As you've been told before, people.
That's the limit.
That's the limit.
That is the minimum for some people around the table, of course. Mm. Jim Campbell. Arsenal.
We're done with that, aren't we, that game?
Yeah.
We can move on from that.
I should say so.
Big takeaway from that game, Arsenal had 33 shots.
Yeah.
Move on.
On the door.
The funny thing is, right, it was a brilliant game, of course.
Very enjoyable.
This we know,
it really was.
And Arsenal did play a lot better, but it was ultimately the same old.
Well, the ridiculous thing is,
I don't mean to sound like a
gift Man United or a team as good as that, chances like that. I mean, the first one was sloppy defending. The second one, I don't know what Mustafi's doing there. Obviously, maybe he had some sort of fitness issue that had suddenly appeared because, you know, it was just held onto the ball for a baffling amount of time. But you can't play like that against Man United.
They essentially gave them a two-goal head start.
Of course they did. And this is why, you know, when Arsenal start every season talking about title ambitions, that's just not going to happen, is it?
Well, that's part of the reason. The two-goal head start is essentially the reason why they lost, because the third goal that Lingard scored, which killed it, probably doesn't happen if they're not 2-1 up already.
Yeah. Busting a gut, chasing the game.
If those two mistakes early on, those two goals that Arsenal conceded early on don't happen, they both happen within 10 minutes, as we know. That's 1-1. It's 1-0 to Arsenal, whatever. And Arsenal were absolutely battering him. Mm. David De Gea put in the best goalkeeping performance I've possibly ever seen in the Premier League.
Yeah. He was just so on it, wasn't he?
Oh, you know
that
what?
Double save he made, God.
The more you see that shot from Lacazette had a lot of power on it, but he got so much of a hand to it. He didn't just parry that away. He actually sort of grabbed it.
It
came out of his hand, but that deadened it enough that he had time to adjust for Sanchez's follow-up. It's absolutely world-class goalkeeping.
And with
phenomenal.
And with Sanchez's follow-up, initially you might have thought, Sanchez should have put that away. But actually,
Sanchez did all he could in a sense because
in
De Gea,
a split second.
Yeah, because De Gea just snuffed it out. It was almost like De Gea tackled
and
him.
And we're not talking about like naff players here. We're talking about Lacazette.
Yeah.
And also the
sensational.
The save from Lukaku.
Yeah.
Unreal. Yes.
Look how quick the thing with De Gea as well is, and I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world. But look, look how quick, he gets up.
Yeah.
As far as I understand it, goalkeepers are when they're coached and trained, you make a save, you're up as quick as you can.
Oh man, goalkeeper training's brutal.
I've never seen a goalkeeper
that looks that much like the Cat in the Hat.
With Gareth Bale.
Get to his feet so quickly. I mean, I said it's the best performance I can remember seeing in the Premier League. Have there been more saves made by a goalkeeper in a single game in the Premier League before?
No, there isn't. Like,
Tim Krul did a pretty good one for 3 seasons ago against Spurs, where he was just hammering on the door.
You're reaching, Donaldson.
No. You might be. Was
Krul
that,
was
because De Gea made 4. He made 14 saves, which is the joint record in a Premier League game since records began in 2003. I think Tim Krul might be in there for that.
Sometimes keepers just have ridiculous... Yeah. But
I think Manoni
David De Gea,
is in there as
David
well.
De Gea is an incredible goalkeeper. And you sort of think with the Real Madrid situation, they're sort of saying, oh, they're going to turn their attention to Courtois if he doesn't sort his stuff out. It's like, are they, really? Because I'd be throwing about as much money as they had at that particular problem.
Absolutely. I think this... I don't mean this to sound insulting, but if you look at the way De Gea moves, it's almost quite simian. Do you know what I mean? It's just all limbs and all quick movements. It's fantastic.
I tell you
and
what, though,
really maddening in a situation like that.
Speaking of Simeon and Manchester United goalkeepers, was it Darlow in goal for Newcastle?
Right, yeah.
He did a proper Schmeichel at one point.
Well, like a start. Look, well, he was first
arm out,
jumps, wasn't he? Yeah,
arm out, and you know, just spread yourself. The ball had gone past him. In one sense, doesn't know too much about it, but yet makes the save.
I mean, didn't help the scoreline, but I mean,
in that
straight for the negative.
I know. In that situation, though, the goalkeeper, as you say, the goalkeeper, what you're essentially implying is the keeper's got to make himself as big as possible.
Yeah.
Just to probability wise, just give himself the best chance because he doesn't expect to save it, right?
Yeah, in the same way, defender making a block or something, just throwing himself in the way of a shot from an attacker or something like that. You can say, well, you're a bit fortunate because you didn't know anything about it. But actually, how can you? You know, when it's point blank like that, you can't react quick enough. So you're saying, all right, spread your arms and let's make myself big and strong. But De Gea did that, you know.
Like a pufferfish, almost. It's all you've got. Your instinctive natural defence.
It's one of a goalkeeper's moves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But what a single-handed performance, probably the best
double-handed
goalkeepers as far as we had this season. I can't remember.
It's an absolutely different class. And from Arsenal's point of view, they in yes, it was the same context. Yes, it was Mourinho repeating Wenger again, scoring early, and so on and so forth. But within that context, Arsenal did play better, which I don't know is more frustrating or not, because Arsenal, there was little chats of had they turned a corner and so on, they'd obviously gone on a little winning run there. And I think, surely from Arsenal fans' point of view, so frustrating, because had they have come back and even just got a point, the encouragement they'd have gotten from that is, well, maybe we are turning
the corner. And also pointing to the home record as well, so many wins on the bounce is always a good thing. But it's I'm not hugely surprised by it, to be honest. A lot of people seem to think that Arsenal had a quite good chance of winning because they won that fixture last year. But Mourinho was resting a lot of players at the time, if I remember rightly. So I was a little bit suspicious of that. As you say, it's that, you know, shooting yourself in the foot like that. Why does that pattern persist? You know, it just has to. Nothing has changed it.
I can't
be surprised by it.
I would find it particularly frustrating if I were an Arsenal fan, just the way they started the game. I mean, I don't think there's any excuse to not have that concentration at that early part of the game. I know sometimes you get mental fatigue and it's tough because they're a good team. And as Marcus, as you said during the game, you messaged me saying Mourinho won't have wanted this game to be this open. I mean, the idea of the game is so open would have been anathema to what Mourinho is all about. But because he had that 2-goal cushion, they were able, just through a combination of a bit of luck and some amazing individual performances, were able to weather the storm. But Arsenal, although they perform well and they've been on a good run in the league anyway, because they were beaten by Köln, weren't they, in the Europa League. But in the league, they've been on a good run. They're still the architects of their own downfall.
Oh, yeah.
They've got no one to blame but themselves, really.
Realistically, though, I think Arsenal's hope for this season is top four, obviously. And
they're currently fifth, so...
Yeah, but, you know, bizarrely, looking at that performance, they're not going to gift teams two goals in every game. So I think, you know, they're on course every game.
And they might get better refereeing decisions. Let's make that very clear as well.
And they're not going to play. They're not going to play Man United every game either. So.
Well, quite. Yeah.
I mean, the big negative for United will be that Pogba's going to miss the derby,
which
now.
Is gutting for everybody because you want to see both of those teams at their best.
That's what Pep said.
Yeah.
He's been saying a lot recently, hasn't he? Yeah. He got really angry.
Did he say it through his interpreter, Nathan Redmond?
Yeah, Pogba, do you think it was a sending off?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it looked pretty...
Sending off-y.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would
people be... People saying, oh, it was accidental, but that's not. That doesn't matter, does it? It's
Yeah, exactly.
It was dangerous.
Yeah, I thought it was sending off. Should Koscielny have gone?
That was an interesting one because Lukaku's quite far from goal there, so I guess that's the argument that it's not a clear
scoring
opportunity.
Yeah, but it's not about how far it was. Was the player going to cover back?
Well, I think he could have been sent off. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have been like I wouldn't have looked at that and gone, that's outrageous.
The Pogba thing, the timing of it would be annoying for me. They were already 3-1 up.
Yes,
about 15 minutes left or something. Yeah,
he's a full throttle player though, isn't he, Pogba?
I think all players have to be.
Yeah.
I think, but for 15 minutes left, putting yourself in that position, I don't know, it's a bit annoying.
At the risk of an edit point, we've got to mention Jesse Lingard.
Yeah.
two great goals, and he's been on good form recently. And Luke, we were chatting about Lingard, I think, off mic before, in the context of England, saying that is he a little bit lightweight? Can he get pushed around a bit? Is he as effective? Because if you look at Lingard, you know, he has scored some important goals, the FA Cup final being an obvious one. And clearly does have a lot of talent and a little bit about him. Mm. Has the last couple of games sort of altered your opinion?
I was thinking about this, and you know what? When Lingard, he's got 8 caps for England, I think, and he's never scored for England, and that's fair enough. He's not had a huge amount of opportunities. But when England bring him on, he's 24 now, and when England bring him on, I always get a little bit almost instinctively crestfallen. I think I just think he's not of a sufficient quality that he's going to change anything.
Not an impact player, perhaps.
I don't think so. But listening to you just then, given that he doesn't score a huge amount of goals, his record goal scoring is very, very, very low. He does seem to get quite important goals. So you wonder whether that lends itself to him having an impact if he were to go next summer with England. I don't know if I know exactly what type of player he is. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know what you mean there, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's not... I wouldn't say... He's obviously not a goal-scoring midfielder because he doesn't score enough goals. Mm-hmm. He's not an out-and-out winger.
Mm.
He's not got the quality of being a inverted, like, inside winger who go and just beat players over and over again. Like, he's not a Hazard-type player.
No.
So it's hard to know, and he does seem a little bit lightweight. I don't want to bag on the guy.
He's not a number 10 either.
No, he's not. So he seems a bit like... a jack of all trades, master of none type.
But then might that, I mean, sorry to suddenly swing it around to England, and we will talk about international football, obviously,
well,
a little bit later on.
Well, how exciting that's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Yeah. I can't wait for it.
We've got a section on that later.
We've got
a lid on,
all right? Yeah,
but I appreciate your excitement.
Temper your excitement, sir.
If you can.
For the running order must be followed.
Peter, see that excitement there?
Edit it out.
That's what I want to see from you, all right, when we get closer to Russia. But Lingard, you know, the way England play, probably a 3-4-2-1. The two behind a striker, could he fit in one of those positions? Because actually, from what we're saying, what type of forward is he? You know, one of those players actually might need to go out wide a bit, might be attacking, be a bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be naturally where you would put him.
Yeah,
I just don't know whether he's good enough to play there consistently. Look, he was in the last England squad.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a shout to be in the England squad for next summer. Mourinho obviously rates him, and he's a relatively young Englishman, so he must have something about him because Mourinho wouldn't be committing to him. So, well, you know, there's other young English players in that Man United squad that he absolutely does not commit to, like Luke Shaw. So he has to have something about him. I just don't get excited when I see him. And I don't get excited especially when he plays for England. That might say more about me than it does him, though.
Yeah, there we are, you see. But yes, they're up against Manchester City next, who have got a strong habit of winning winnable games late on.
this performance against West Ham, I mean, I obviously heard you guys on Thursday or Friday talking about Man City beating West Ham 4-0 and all the rest of it.
8-0, I think, was even mentioned.
Yeah, and at the time I thought, yeah, fair enough, but they were so poor.
They really
did you
were.
See the game?
It's the worst I've seen them this season.
It's like they couldn't get out of second gear the whole game, and there were opportunities. They speaking about Arsenal maybe not quite being at the races very, very early on against United, well, Man City started off so sloppily. It wasn't just their pass selection that I noticed, it was their weight of pass, which they've been so good on this season already. They couldn't get going, and then there were opportunities for them to really kick on. West Ham scoring, you thought, right, well, that's going to give them a sharp shock.
Yep.
Didn't. them getting an arguably quite fortunate equaliser, the manner in which it was scored, that didn't get them going either. It was only a bit of brilliance from De Bruyne and David Silva, a bit of acrobatics from David Silva.
That was a great goal.
It was a great goal. And I think, you know, on one hand, you think, well, you can't really rely on that. But on the other hand, you're like, well, you can, because that's how good those players are. And sooner or later, you know, Marcus, when you see their lineup, you think one of those players is going to do something. So they get away with it. But I thought they were so poor.
I thought Guardiola's comments were quite interesting afterwards. I mean, it's sort of classic Guardiola. He said about West Ham, they didn't want to play. When they lost the ball, they didn't press. They just went back with 10 players in the box.
Yeah,
it has happened in the last three games. It's almost impossible. And I thought, surely you're used to that as Barcelona manager,
absolutely.
And Bayern Munich manager.
Well, I think, though, as we've said many times before, you know, it's this kind of strangulation style, isn't it, that Pep Guardiola likes with his teams, where, like, you know, it's sort of the opposition becomes an irrelevance and you just sort of steamroller them with that. But teams are getting wiser to it and they're sort of digging in a bit more, because West Ham were really, really comfortable to not have the ball. You could see that basically from the first minute. So, like, it looked like a sort of attack versus defence training exercise really early on. And weirdly, West Ham looked the more comfortable in that, which was very, very surprising.
Especially given they had West Ham had so many players out.
Yeah.
West Ham had quite a few centre-backs missing. They had to play Declan Rice in there. I mean, that's a difficult ask for a player so young. And I don't I've got no sympathy for Guardiola saying those things. I actually think he could have got a lot more stick for that Redmond thing than he did.
Yeah.
I think
he's a
very eccentric guy, but, you know, how do you expect a team like West Ham?
Yeah.
They've had such a bad start to the season. They've had to change their manager and we're only in December. They're away from home against a team who've dropped 2 points all season. I mean, sorry, Mr. Guardiola, what exactly do you fucking expect? what are you expecting to happen in that situation? They're going to play a very, very deep defence and midfield line, and they're going to try and make it difficult.
Yeah.
And they did make it difficult because that's their best chance.
I would absolutely love it. I hope we do see Guardiola before, you know, his career is, as a manager, is finished, presumably in many, many years to come. If he manages a side who are not blessed with loads of attacking talent and loads of money, and I don't mean that in a sort of reductionist, oh, go on then, what can he do with Stoke. You know, Stoke or something like that? Although they're doing all right of late, Stoke. But yes, if you take the point, because he's had Barcelona now, yes, that's a skill, of course. I'm not suggesting that Guardiola is not one of the greatest managers of our generation. Of course he is, but on the basis of the comments he's made about getting annoyed with Redmond and getting annoyed with West Ham, why aren't you attacking? Why aren't you playing the way I want you all to play? Well, because we don't have the squads, you know, we don't have the money and all that kind of stuff. And I would just love it if he did manage a team who are a bit lower down, which the way his career is going is not going to happen, and understandably so. What would he do? You've got to be a little bit more savvy. And actually, Moyes set them up.
It's like an actor becoming like a famous Hollywood star and then going back to do cult films.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the theatre.
Or going back to do Midsummer Murders.
Yeah. EastEnders.
Peak practice.
I would love to have seen David Moyes run onto the pitch and have a go at Raheem Sterling about how good he was.
Yeah, yeah.
You're brilliant.
Yeah, that would be brilliant.
I know. Well, yeah, I mean, there was an air of complacency, you could say, about their build-up. But Thierry Henry made the point that Guardiola doesn't allow his teams to play any other way, even if in the dying stages of a match they don't just throw balls into the box and that kind of thing.
Even from goal kicks.
Even though De Bruyne is obviously, but you wouldn't say that was just a cross.
It was funny because they had John Stones in the studio before the game. And
he got a lot of abuse on social media for being a bit boring.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's very.
The thing is, it's a different skill. He's not used to speaking.
That's an irrelevance, I think.
Yeah.
But David Jones at Sky, who, friend of the Ramble, of course.
DJ.
He asked John Stones what it's like playing under Guardiola and before the game. And John Stones said, you know, he's the most demanding coach I've ever worked with. The standards are so high. All the things you'd expect. And then they served up that absolute nonsense for the first time. You think, it really is that demanding? These players aren't even running.
I know, right? But was it nice to see Stuart Pearce in a dugout again?
It was odd, wasn't it?
It was.
former Man City manager Stuart Pearce seems weird now.
He looked like he got lost on the way to the shops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you said that, because I saw that and I thought, what's he doing? I know they've hired him, but
are they
it's like seeing your teacher outside of school.
Yeah, don't let him sit in the dugout of the game.
He put David James up front on purpose once.
Yeah.
It's a shame that he was expecting the reception when he turned up.
Yeah, a guard of honour.
Yeah. Poor old Pearcey.
No, poor old Pearcey.
He was a great player and a great servant for England.
Yeah.
One of England's best ever fullbacks, but a dreadful manager.
And similar political views to Peter.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What, for him?
Yeah.
Maybe not for you, though. But West Ham have Chelsea and Arsenal next.
Yeah.
And the problem for West Ham is that they're not getting any points, but the two sides immediately above them, Palace and West Brom, they are picking up the odd point here and there. And West Ham's 10 points from their opening 15 games is their worst ever tally in the top flight since 1976-77.
I mean, their main problem is they're not that good.
Yes,
that's their biggest.
That will go against you, but they have given a British manager a chance, so that might work in their
favour. All we are saying, give British managers a chance.
Well, and they've given an assistant, a British assistant manager, a chance as well, and it's going to work out fine. Adrian staked a claim to be West Ham's number one.
Well, he's a much better goalkeeper than Gerrard. He's not staked a claim. I'm living in some sort of parallel universe.
The save for David Silva's shot from distance in the first half is very, very good, especially with the deflection.
He's a bit like that bloke in Quantum Leap, isn't he, Pete?
Someone's done his research.
There we are.
So he's been on the Wikipedia.
You can imagine David Moyes and his team sort of going. Still, on the positive side, Joe's not eligible today. So it's out of my hands. And David Moyes has now got an absolute textbook reason to keep picking Adrian.
Yeah.
Because you can say, well, I picked him, he played well, I can't drop him.
But think of Joe's ambitions for next summer.
I know. Who's going to front up for us when we go out in the group stage? We've got Joe Hart in the squad.
But let's move on to Liverpool, who have been largely excellent of late, it has to be said. Since Spurs beat them 4-1, Liverpool have played 8 and scored 25 goals, including 4 clean sheets and only just 6 goals conceded.
Yeah.
Have they turned a corner since
that
loss
at Wembley?
Well, they did
have a Sevilla kind of game within that run, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yes.
But yeah, generally, they've been a lot
better. Arsenal had
the
Colne
league
game in their run. You didn't mention that.
Well, you mentioned it.
I didn't need to. You ignored me.
Well, I mean, they still didn't lose away in Sevilla.
No,
which
still,
is never
but the defensive shonkiness was there, wasn't it? But yeah, and perhaps it's churlish to mention that.
Hang on a minute. Can I just say, yeah, they didn't lose. Right?
Yeah,
they were 3-0 up with 40 minutes left.
Well, you know.
And they didn't win.
But their record in the last 8 games, including that game, is pretty good. They are banging in the goals.
I watched the Brighton game. I can't remember what time it was on, but I was in the US, so I was able to watch it. Because if it was a 3 o'clock game, that's how I was able to see it anyway. And it wasn't a 5-1 game. I mean, I ended up feeling that, with the greatest respect to Brighton and to Chris Hughton and Glenn Murray, if those chances that Brighton had, especially early on, fell to a better, more lithe striker than Glenn, I think they might have put the frighteners up Liverpool a bit.
Don't have a go.
I didn't think that was a 5-1 game at all, and I think that's why Chris Hughton was annoyed.
Isn't that testament to how good Liverpool's front three is?
Well,
they've been really ruthless and clinical with chances and putting those big scores into games where actually the chances
But
you know, so there was a couple of times you might say they rode their luck, but actually if you look at that very makeshift back three, Wijnaldum, Chan and Lovren, you know, three players who shouldn't be playing back there. they packed the midfield and obviously had the boys to hit them on the break. And my goodness, they hit them on the break. I mean, they are devastating.
Mane
wasn't even playing.
They changed their team in quite a weird way. And still, Coutinho, Salah and Firmino were all excellent. And Firmino's not obviously started every game anyway. He's rotated a few players around. And Mane didn't even feature, I don't think.
No.
He didn't even come off the bench, nor did Sturridge. It was a comprehensive win for Liverpool. I just think that Brighton could have found themselves a bit unlucky. Murray probably should have had a hat-trick in that game.
Well, right, but for me the focus is on how devastating, as Jim was saying, how devastating Liverpool were. I mean, Brighton, even if Brighton had have scored a couple more goals, I just think the way Liverpool just kept...
They still would have beaten them.
Absolutely hammering them on the break. It was just incredible to watch. They've been fantastic. I mean, even Coutinho's free kick.
Oh, it was
beautiful.
I mean, how do you judge that? I guess you're looking at the body language of the wall just before they jump. It was so casual, but so difficult to do.
Yeah. Wijnaldum said he didn't find out until the morning of the match he was playing in the back three. And I loved his just honesty when he said, I found it very, very difficult. Yeah. He was like, I don't want to have to do that again.
He specifically said, for me, it was difficult because you need to know when to close spaces. And that's interesting. It's a very sort of different mentality from someone who's more used to sort of, you know, picking up the ball and distributing it.
And would you be annoyed if you were Clavan on the bench?
Clavan was ill, though, wasn't he?
He's on the bench, though. Still flat on the bench.
It's a weird one, that, because I always wonder about when players are sick. Like, quite often they just they play half an hour at the end or something like that.
Oh, was he supposed to play then?
I'm not sure, but he didn't need to.
The way the game panned out, it was kind of like, yeah. I think that's it. You know, the scoreline suggests that Liverpool had an awful lot of chances and took them, and that is exactly what happened in the game.
Liverpool were sick.
Yeah, they certainly were. I mean, at this point last season, they were playing like this, and very quickly they ran themselves into the ground and really, really struggled in January, didn't they? But Klopp's moving it around a bit more now. Mane, yes. Not even, you know. Not even
there's featured. No Africa Cup of Nations.
Yeah, of course.
Do you reckon that Klopp won't pick Mane throughout January anyway on purpose, just to show how much they've improved?
Prove a point.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, Liverpool have won 5 out of the last 6 Premier League games. They're only just back in the top 4 on 29 points, 3 behind Chelsea and 6 behind Manchester
Still
United.
Still a club in crisis,
it shows
Marcus.
You how tough it is up there, Peter.
They can't
Newcastle,
defend,
they,
had,
they got close to the...
Newcastle are in crisis.
To the top of the mountain and then slid all the way back down.
I'm in a stinky time. Stinky. Well, they needed to pick up points before this silly run when they got to play Chelsea and Man United and all those people.
Well, they've already played Chelsea.
And Man United.
Yeah, they're right, see? So there's more points in the bag for them now, surely. We're going to talk about Everton and the Championship after this. Speaking of which, it's correspondence with Pete.
Bit strong, isn't it? Bit strong. Hello to Andrew. He says, as a child, I went to an American football game and my team lost. On the way out, a scary fan of my team got in my face and screamed, that's okay, we just need to get our shit out of one sock and into the other.
Right.
What?
For years, I thought this shit sock to sock was a common sports cliche. But it isn't,
no.
Not even in America. However, watching Everton, I keep thinking, they just need to get this shit out of one sock and into the other. I don't really know how to accomplish it or what it even means, but it seems like the best solution for Everton this year. And I guess it's good advice for most teams or people. Actually, you shouldn't really have shit in your socks at all.
Well, based on what I've seen of Everton this season, get the shit out of the sock. Yep. Do not put it in another sock.
Right. Chuck put it in out. The sock of another team.
Put it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Flush it. And then spray the...
yeah. What?
What is it called? Air freshener.
Yeah. Hello to Jeremy Ram. We're talking about missing goals while I go to the loo and stuff like that. Hello, oh, yeah. Ramblers. On the subject of nipping out to go to the toilet and missing goals, I thought I'd tell you that I reckon I'm cursed when it comes to the matter. This guy's seen a lot of decent football matches. Missed the only goal in a Bundesliga second division match, toilet. Missed a Robbie Keane goal in 2010 against Andorra in Dublin, toilet. Missed a stunning David Villa free kick goal at the Newcamp against AC Milan in 2011, late back from half time. Missed an early.
That's your own fault.
Missed an early Messi opener in an 8-0 win against Osasuna on the same holiday in 2011. A few minutes late to our seats again. Missed the Romania equaliser at the Parc des Princes at Euro 2016. Toilet.
Oh my! Oh,
yeah. The above list makes up about a third of all the games I've been at, which makes it worse.
Can we get this man a colostomy bag?
And yeah, and FYI, he says I've only ever been away from my seat once again, maximum.
I would say to him, "Here's your fucking luck."
Can I just say, on the Thursday show, you guys were debating on how long it took Liverpool to score those 3 goals in the Champions League final in 2005. It was 6 minutes.
Oh, because I said 5.
Yeah. You said 5, and someone else said 14. Whoever it was out of you two should be ashamed.
Yeah, no, they should be.
Probably
yeah.
Donny.
It was me.
And I was already ashamed of myself.
Oh, okay.
That's always ticking along in the background.
It's a little underpins of everything you do. Yeah.
This guy's gotten so bad that I have a reputation amongst friends where they don't let me go pee towards the end of games when their team is winning.
Okay.
So there we go.
I might get an extra goal.
Yeah. He also missed Ronnie O'Sullivan's 6th ever snooker 147.
What the hell?
In his career.
I mean, are these just
because he went out for a packet of crisps?
Oh god!
Oh, that's the worst one.
That's the worst one, isn't it?
Are these just things that he's not even attending? I've missed loads of stuff. Yeah,
I can't. It's disrespectful to don't go.
Yeah,
you're going to behave like that. He shouldn't go to these events.
Go to the toilet and buy crisps.
No, someone else.
That man's more animal than man.
He shouldn't go to the event. He just stay at home and watch it.
Marcus is right. If you are buying crisps at the snooker,
yeah,
you deserve everything you get.
Absolutely right.
And what are the noisiest snacks?
He might have put O'Sullivan off.
Yeah,
it probably wouldn't have happened if he'd been there.
Like that Walker's advert in the 80s.
Might as well just have a bowl of crunchy nut.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
If you are listening, Kellogg's.
Yeah, we are. We're up for anything.
Up for anything. Marcus Speller, 2017. Yeah. Fonz.
That was specifically aimed at Kellogg's.
Cereal based.
Up for anything. Fonz has got in touch. I think that's some kind of nickname. But hello there, Ramblers. I'm a new listener since August and a first time mailer. Good to have you along, Fonz. All the way from Belgium, so apologies for any misuse of the English language. As always, with people who use English as a second language, always. The fact that I can't even say the next word
like your site,
dictates
like,
that they're way better
than
me.
Did the font start with he?
He, no.
Oh, shame.
The fonts, wasn't it?
What's his name?
His name is Jerome Snares.
The fonts.
But he's written fonts at the end of his name.
How are you spelling that?
What? Fonts?
Yeah.
F-O-N-S.
What fonts is he using in the email? Do they keep varying? Is that maybe why he's got this nickname?
Helvetica.
Come on, Wingding. Let's get on with it.
Throughout your show, I've learnt about the heartbreak Eric Dyer has gone through after his breakup with Dele Alli. Mm. I've noticed he was with Jan Vertonghen last Friday. Jan streamed the both of them on his Instagram they watched the World Cup draw. Fantastic draw. Hope to see you guys on the 28th of June. I just hope Eric is being honest to his feelings and isn't using Vertonghen just as a rebound. This would really affect his performance on said World Cup. I admit it's an impressive slow play, but it's just not right.
Wow.
I thought that was a lovely emotional little plea to both parties, or all three parties, rather.
Yeah. Reconciliation is the thing.
Yeah, I know. Hello.
Move on together.
If you want to say hello, it's showatthefootballramble.com.
I've got a few highlights of the week, if you want them.
All right, then.
Just squeeze them in.
Are they your own ones?
No, they're from a series of listeners, the first being Alan Glynn.
Glynn,
this is not a highlight per se, but I enjoy Jeff Shreves describing Sam Allardyce as one of the most forward-thinking men ever.
Wow. Yeah, but for Jeff Shreves, he probably is.
Yeah. On Sunday Supplement.
Ever?
That's very enjoyable.
He puts the toilet seat down.
Yeah. Rob Stevens says, discovering through the Chart Music podcast that Kevin Keegan once co-hosted an episode of Top of the Pops, ostensibly to promote his latest single, but he wasn't able to perform it because it had only reached a hapless 172 in the chart. The worst moment, however, is where the now disgraced Dave Lee Travis tries to head a ball to impress him. Keggy pushes him over and then remarks that DLT doesn't enjoy physical contact, which sets up DLT for a disgusting bit of leering about how there's one person he would like some physical contact with, Sheena Easton.
Oh, the scene is so terribly 70s.
Yeah, horrible.
Can't think of any more.
Marcus is off.
Yeah, he's away. And I'll finish up from Peter Blow, who's a regular contributor, probably a friend of the Ramble by now, who says, I saw a banner at the cricket in Australia which simply said, Wenger not out.
Yes! There we are. Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, Keggy. Will you make number one, Kevin?
Yes.
No.
He had quite a few singles, didn't he, Keggy? People think of one or two here and there, but he actually released quite a bit of music, from what I remember.
What number did they get to? 172.
He released quite a bit of music. For Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
More than you think.
Yeah.
More than none, which is insane.
Yeah.
I imagine he put some stuff out in Hamburg that we never saw the later day.
Well, that's where he started, you know, just doing the clubs in Hamburg.
I was going to say, like
the Beatles.
Didn't they all? And your favourite, Cilla Black.
Yeah. Don't give him a chance.
No.
Not getting into it. she covered Exile.
Edit point.
No. Edit. Exile's Kiss Me All Over, she covered it. It was dreadful, and I don't care for her.
Exile's Kiss Me All Over?
Yeah. I want to kiss you all over.
Marcus, you are aiding and abetting this. Don't look confused. Over this is your fault.
Oi.
He's my brother.
This is like you've got a Mogwai wet.
Pete
and I are having a nice time together.
Don't feed me Exile's Kiss Me All Over after midnight, Marcus.
Banana phone should have been a warning. That warning was not heeded. So now you deserve everything you get.
Indeed I do. And so do Everton, because they've hired Big Sam. But they got a nice win at home against struggling Huddersfield. Allardyce, the only man to have managed 7 Premier League clubs.
Is he going for the full set, do you think?
Well, he's not going to get one of the top 6.
He's going for 14.
Yeah.
Because the English clubs hate the English managers. He's already got his feet under the desk, aimed a dig at Marco Silva, the man Everton originally wanted. Don't forget that, Sam. Possibly because he's better. He said, I am not criticising Marco Silva, but Marco Silva's track record has got no comparison to me whatsoever. He got Hull City relegated.
Well, you are criticising him then.
Yeah. So you're saying he got Hull City relegated. You forget about, you know, the titles he's won in one or two other countries, but of course they won't register on Big Sam's British radar. But Silva's response was very good. After making the point that you wouldn't compare the amount of goals Peter Crouch and Richarlison have scored against one another, because, as Silva put it, Crouch is 37 and Richarlison is 20, so that would just be stupid. Mm. And he said, he went on to say... this is great. Go to see what he was doing when he was 40 years old, or even see his first seasons as a coach. What was he doing then? Then look at what I am doing. Or we can wait until I'm 63 years old, and when we compare what I have done, that's more sensible.
Yeah, no. I love that, because Allardyce has responded to that as well by saying, oh, you know, I just asked a question, and you know, I'll always stick up for my record. It's like, yeah, but you don't have to like go on the offensive to another one of your professional colleagues.
It's just stupid behaviour from. I mean, Big Sam, he can be a bit of a buffoon.
When Allardyce was 40, he was managing Blackpool.
There you are.
There you go. In case you're interested.
Well done.
Well done indeed, Luke Moore.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, answering questions has been his problem recently, hasn't it? You
know? The thing is, to take that to its natural conclusion...
With a napkin on his head.
You can't, yeah, you can't just, you know, you can't just go, I think he's an absolute wanker, and then go, oh, I was just asked a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't have to answer the question with that phrase. You couldn't have...
Diplomacy is occasionally important.
Yeah.
Stand by your own words, but in a, you know, in a better way. Yeah, well, just say, well, you know... We've got different records. You know, I think I've got more Premier League experience. You know, I've got the job. Here we are. Whatever, but you don't need to...
But wouldn't a 2-0 home win against Huddersfield feel like the warmest feeling ever for Everton fans?
Oh, my goodness.
Based on Sam taking the job, because they need stability. They need the season, as you guys were saying sort of late last week, you could argue the season, they've experimented, it's not worked. They need to sort of really sort of shore up and get through the rest of the season safely, get as high as they can to try and attract, with respect to Sam, try and attract someone bigger and with more capability to take them into that upper echelon of the Premier League. But a 2-0 win at home, solid, decent, is exactly
what
they
want. But no one's suggesting that this is a bad appointment. This is a slight... This
a functional appointment.
Is it a functional appointment with a hint of emergency? Just a very, very small hint of emergency.
Yeah, that's right.
But Allardyce's comments, there's just silly. There's absolutely no need for that. And the reason why they wanted Marco Silva is because they wanted a functional, but also not just functional, an appointment which somebody like Silva going into Everton, which they would have thought and hoped with Koeman, you think to yourself, this guy can push us on. This guy can actually make us challenge for maybe a Europa League spot or something like that.
It just feels like Allardyce is still burned by the England scenario.
Yeah.
So he's actually being more aggressive than he normally would, because he feels like he's, you know, clearly feels like he's still got something to prove, and he's just maybe being a bit more vocal about that.
Having said what I just said, and following up on what you guys said last week about Allardyce, saying that is Everton's season essentially
a write-off?
Just thinking about it a bit more deeply, this is probably the best squad of players that Allardyce has ever worked with. Mm. You could argue, that some of the players they've got in there, Sigurdsson, Tom, they've got some good young players like Pickford, Holgate, Davis.
No, it's a fair comment.
They've got Calvert-Lewin, they've got some good... I mean, the one thing that really spurred me on to say this is the fact that Everton are now in 10th.
Well, this is the thing.
They're only 7 points off a top six position. Mm. He's got plenty and plenty of time. Mm-hmm. If he's still got it in his locker, Allardyce, and he can still do... bear in mind what he did with Bolton back in the day. They've got potential to actually do something. Because one thing they do, they're quite bad at Everton, is conceding goals. I think only Stoke and West Ham have conceded more than them, I think. If they can shore that up, they've got a real chance of pushing on, certainly. I mean, they're already top half, so certainly lower top half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, I think you're right, this is an excellent squad. You could argue, I mean, are Everton the biggest club he's managed, maybe? Newcastle and West Ham, you put up there as well.
I think you might have a point there. You know,
I think they probably are. Yeah.
In terms of kind of recent history and recent kind of trophies.
Right, who wants a smack in the mouth?
Okay.
What are you thinking about his time at Limerick?
I didn't know you thought that highly of West Ham.
Yeah.
What I was going to say though is, I think if he brings it back to basics and gets people just doing what they're best at well, which is a real hallmark of his style. When you look at players like Sigurdsson in there, him in particular, he really will have a chance of getting as you say, doing something and just getting them kind of flying up there. And I wonder where Rooney's going to play. He seemed to play a bit deeper at the weekend. And I wonder if actually he'll sort of have him in midfield a bit more, a bit further back.
I think he'd be attacking midfield. I wonder if he'll...
Because you've still got that problem, though, haven't you? You've got the Sigurdsson, Rooney, Barkley when he's back, David Klaassen, too many,
Too many midfielders? They shouldn't have bought so bloody many.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. But I think Sam is Allardyce is very, very experienced in getting, getting performances out of players and playing them in a simple way, the position they're most used to playing, rather than being a bit too clever, which possibly means that he will never, as we've already said, go up there and win loads and loads of stuff, because he's not going to do that now, because most of his managerial career is behind him. But going back to basics means he's probably perfectly suited to a job like this.
Very true. Very true indeed. Yeah, but I think the point you make is that Everton are, back-to-back wins changes everything. Those six or 6 points, and suddenly, as you say, they're 7 points off Tottenham Hotspur, for crying out loud, and you think, well, okay, they're not going to catch Spurs, you wouldn't have thought, but maybe the season isn't quite right off. Maybe we were
Who
a little bit hasty.
Knows?
Indeed, yeah, Huddersfield, they're dropping like a stone, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to them next. Let's move on to the Championship.
more specifically Sunderland.
I wonder why we're talking about them this week.
A Sunderland fan, yes. Well, let's set the scene. Sunderland's the disastrous home record continues, Peter. They lost 3-1 to Yaps Chaps.
Before we do this, I just want to point out that I said before this that I haven't actually watched the Sunderland game, and people were like, don't worry about it. That is not going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, it's the worst home record in English football history. Their last win at the Stadium of Light was on the 17th of December 2016. It's so bad there that one Sunderland fan dropped his kegs and had a jobby in the stands.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's a review, isn't it?
It's only fair to say the police have denied that this actually happened.
Oh, really?
And the kid was 17, but I wonder if that's the police helping him save it a face, maybe?
I think at this point, Jim, we need to cross live to our shitting in a stadium correspondent, Mr. Pete Donaldson.
Who was I talking to recently? He was
no
in
denial.
A... They went up to... Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, the land in question went up to Newcastle to watch West Ham play in Newcastle. They were in a hotel lobby waiting for the dad to come down and get rid of all of his West Ham clothes that he got and have a night
Not
on
a
the
Not a jobby
town.
In the lobby.
Have a night on the town. And a drunk Newcastle fan was just sat on a table by himself, probably about 18, just stood up and started peeing on the table.
Oh,
then got thrown out.
That is piss poor.
Piss poor.
It is bad, but it's still not as bad, which is phenomenal.
I know, yeah. When you said that, I was a bit like, yeah, wasn't that bad? Because I've been desensitised by this. But Jim, you said that, mentioning the police denying it, of course. Well, one eyewitness said he squatted and curled one out.
Oh, dear.
I mean, that was quoted in the news. That was quoted in the Daily Mirror. Curled one out. Do we need that kind of language?
I needed to do the quote, Peter.
You did need to do that. I wasn't telling you off. I was saying that it was reported in a national newspaper, the term curling one out, for crying out loud.
Someone told me that a manager currently working and doing quite a good job in the Football League, who I won't name for legal reasons, someone told me that he is well known as being one absolute boozer, and his band was banned from several hotels and pubs in the area where he used to manage because he kept urinating all over the place, including one of the hotel lifts.
Oh, right. No. What an awful man.
Yep. Terrible.
There we are.
Yep. let's have a look. Turn him.
Just showing you where it is.
Okay. Oh, good.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's listed as footballer there, isn't he, on Wikipedia?
Should be pisser.
Lift pisser.
Well, anyway, we should say that the man pulled up his trousers and the stewards removed the dirty bastard from Sunderland Stadium. So
get out, you dirty bastard. That sort of thing is reserved for Sunderland Town Centre and only Sunderland Town Centre.
Ah, there's the dig.
Do you want to go out as well?
Take it to Metroland.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
You dirty bastard.
You dirty rotter. I'm surprised.
You fucking rotter.
Go on, say it again.
Yeah.
Do another poo.
Bill Grundy.
Drop your Bill Grundys.
Bill Grundys. Yeah.
What have you just done in the stands? Shit. you do remember the Sex Pistols being interviewed by Bill Grundy.
Don't give it away. Let him fill the blanks
himself. You dirty bastard.
Like in Step Two and Son. You dirty old man.
Yeah. Yeah. One for the kids there.
Actually, when Johnny Rotten did that interview, he was actually being inhabited by Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap. Not many know that.
I thought you were going to say Sam Allardyce then. Yeah. You get the basics very well.
Al turns up and goes, you have an 80% chance of seeing shit. You're not laughing, Marcus. That's not
Quantum right. Leap, Step Toe and Son, Sex, all the modern
stuff. All the modern.
Yeah.
All the big ones.
All the big ones.
Before we go to an ad break, Leonid Slutsky has left Hull by mutual consent.
That is a real shame. I wonder if he'll stay in the UK. He's been living in England for a long while and he's well up for a Premier League job.
He's
not helped himself there, has he?
No. He's a bit of a character, the big slut, so we hope he stays.
Yeah, well, I hope he stays just so you keep saying that.
Sluts off.
There was reports that he was saying, look, I really want to... I've been learning English, I've been living in the UK for a while, I want a Premier League job, and... If it means doing it with Hull City, great. Yeah. You're 20th in the league.
Yeah.
You're only, I mean...
Has he won, what, 4 out of 19, I think?
16 points off the playoffs, so looking vaguely
increasingly
ridiculous.
Unlikely, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that his argument? We're only 16 points off the playoffs.
Yeah.
We've got loads of games
left. 5 wins in the draw.
It's still in our hands.
Yeah.
But it won't be for much longer, I fear. And that's what Hull have feared, and he's gone. There we are. We're going to talk about the World Cup draw after...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This.
Oh!
There we go.
Beautiful young eggs. Eggs that need a mum to take care of them.
Hey, lovely
but
eggs.
You've got a new little piece of kit there. I didn't notice that.
Well, a little dial that goes up and down.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
To help with the volume of your jingles.
Well, I always had problems with them in the past, so we're all good now.
There we are. Don't forget, everybody, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be out on Friday. It will be a cracker. I've got a feeling in me bones. How did our better get on, Peter?
He muffed it right up, mate.
Oh. Yeah, well, did Jay Rodriguez muff it up for him?
He was unlucky.
He had a double. He had West Brom and Everton win, and neither of them did that. One of them did that.
He was unlucky, but it's still a muff up. Yeah, that's true.
A miss is as good as a mile.
Exactly. But if you want to be the best better for this week, do get involved. Show at thefootballramble.com.
I'll be back on the duty this week, so you got a chance of dealing with me and not Donaldson.
I know. Got to get past me. It was going to be an easy result with me on the gates.
Sadly, not.
No,
got to get past you.
Let's talk about this bloody draw because I'm excited.
Come on, the World Cup draw happened.
It's real again. Another one.
Yeah. Eggs, little eggs with little bits of paper in.
Gary Lineker had a lovely dig at Fabio Cannavaro.
He did.
Well, it was more Italy, a whole country. Mm.
Yeah.
Shots fired. Yeah, he said when Cannavaro was pulling out the balls, he said, nice to have Italy involved in the World Cup.
Imagine if Cannavaro just turned around and went, oh, fuck off. Yeah. I've won it, mate.
At least I've lifted the damn thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, we have to live and die on those little digs, don't we? It's all, it's the only...
It's all we've got.
Exactly.
All we've got, cracker of an opening game.
Yeah.
Russia versus Saudi Arabia. A classic.
The civil rights classic.
I was going to say the human rights derby. You know.
There we are. But it was nice to see our Gary Lineker hosting, of course, and some very famous football people involved. But that'll happen, Peter. That will happen. Did you see the sale?
I'd rather have Kates in there, quite frankly.
I would too.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of time for Kates,
Mm-hmm. Oh, fair enough. Well, the tournament begins, of course, in June. England play Tunisia, Panama, then Belgium. And if they don't bugger it up, then they'll play one from Group H, which could be Poland, Senegal, Colombia, or Japan.
What I love so much about the World Cup draw is how giddy we all get immediately.
Oh, yeah.
As you say, it's suddenly become real. For a moment, it's summer and you're
when you see the world,
we're still in it.
When you see the World Cup font.
Yeah,
font they've used. They've got branding. The World Cup poster.
The poster's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's magnificent. Beautiful poster. It's the best one in years. But you look at that. You know, the teams we could get if we get through the draw, and you think Poland, Senegal, Colombia, Japan are fancies against any of those. Then you go through them and go, oh, Poland could be tricky. Senegal could as well. Colombia could too. Japan, I don't know. I mean, we lost to Iceland. You're blinded immediately.
You know what? I understand exactly what you're saying, but looking at the draw, knowing that, bearing in mind that England are a pot two team, mm-hmm. so they would have to play a pot one team. Mm-hmm. Russia are the host, of course, and they're probably a bit of a poor side, but they're the host, so that brings its own problems. Mm-hmm. If you could hand pick a group for England, That's pretty close to what you would pick.
It's very close. I might swap Poland and Belgium.
That's what I was going to say. The only potential swap would be potentially bringing Poland or Russia in for Belgium.
I was relieved England got pulled out of that group.
But not only the group, but the order in which we're playing the group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Belgium have got their own problems.
So who do you think we're going to play in the quarterfinal?
Well, once you get to the quarters,
what we're going to get beaten by?
No, when you get to Pete, listen. When we get to the quarterfinals, we'll be properly warmed up by then.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't
want to start. Everyone
want to
start too fast.
No, exactly.
Exactly. Oh.
I'm looking forward to all these cliches. People are probably still going. You know, Italy traditionally starts slow. They haven't even qualified this time.
Yeah,
so
they started very slow.
Watch out for them. They're going to win it.
No, but think about it, Jim. How slow they are starting for the World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a real slow burner.
Are you on the plane or not with BM Spells?
I am clinging to the wing.
Yeah, okay.
No, that,
Pete's in the engine. Pete's sat in the engine.
Yeah, sucked in like a bird.
Pete, are you on the England double decker party plane?
I'm on the party plane.
Great,
no,
we're on.
Yeah. I want to make it clear.
I'm riding the drinks trolley.
Pete's in quarantine. Yeah. He's in the hold.
Spellsy's not having it. When Pete said he's on the party plane, Marcus looked really annoyed.
No,
he's not.
No, just be on the normal fictional plane with the rest of us.
Yeah.
I'm clinging to the wing because you get more adrenaline that way.
You do.
I'll have missed the plane. I'll book another one.
You forget you left your passport at home. Yeah. That usual story.
Yeah. I did that once.
Too many, isn't it?
Too many.
Yeah, most people never do that.
Most people never do that.
Any other groups?
Which other group? I think Group C is quite a nice one. Poor old Australia in with France, Peru and Denmark. I say poor Australia. I mean, they're probably the weaker side out of the four. But I think that's quite a tough group. Because,
I don't mind because I don't care about Australia.
No. Okay.
Yeah, but also Australia are, as you said, a fairly poor side anyway. So like they're going to find it difficult wherever they are.
They are, but I think that is quite a tough group.
I like Group F.
Do you? Germany, Mexico, Sweden, South Korea?
Yeah. Is there a group of death?
Not really.
There's a few.
I think the group of fun is
Japan's group.
I don't know why.
I just think it's going to be lots of stories.
Well, of course. Group D is an early prediction for me, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Oh, hello.
Iceland will draw with Argentina.
I think Group D is probably the closest to the group of death.
I'd say so, because I'd say they're the most evenly balanced, Argentina. Mm. Argentina, I'm glad England avoided them. They're a little bit light in midfield. Defensively, they're okay. Extremely heavy up top.
Yeah.
with Messi and co, obviously. I mean, we say this, though, but Argentina, they are a tournament side. I mean, imagine if we had the likes of an equivalent of Messi and Aguero and all the rest of it, and people were going, well, you're not that good. We'd be like, yeah, but we, you know, get the ball up to the boys. You know.
I think Argentina probably, possibly, arguably have the most pressure on them, given the whole kind of, always, you know, Messi needs to win a World Cup to emerge from Maradona's shadow sort of thing. That narrative is of no use to them at all.
And that shadow's
a horrible
getting
thing to... Yeah, yeah, quite.
And we've spoken, as a few people have, about Nigeria, who always get Argentina, of course.
Mm.
And Croatia. They have got some handy players.
We could have drawn Iceland, because they were pot three, so I'm pleased we swerved them.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Revenge.
Yeah, we never get revenge though, do we?
No. Oh, a nil-nil draw.
Really true, yeah.
The glory is ours.
You didn't score against us this time, you mugs.
Yeah.
Portugal-Spain will be a nice one, though.
Last World Cup, we got what? Uruguay, Italy, and Costa Rica.
That was a tough group.
Very tough.
So tough, we didn't get through. That's how tough it was.
Compare this draw this time around to that. That was a proper group of death.
Yeah, it was another group as well that was particularly difficult. But yeah, I think it's more evenly spread. Or is the quality less, ladies and gentlemen? We'll find out in Russia.
Now we're counting down. But I'll tell you what, playing Tunisia first, that'll be 0-0.
People are saying,
Well, listen, I'll tell you what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
0-0 against Tunisia. We'll narrowly beat Panama 1-0, and then we'll lose 4-0 to Belgium.
Will we get through, though?
Third in the group, into the Europa.
Into
that tournament the USA are hosting
Great. Imagine if FIFA changed it, though, that, you know, the World Cup became more important and, you know, there was like 200 places at the World Cup, so everybody's there. And if you go out in the first round, you then play the European Championships, the Copa, they completely denigrate the content of the tournament.
The plate. Like the plate when you're a kid at doing a tournament.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, it's still all to play for.
Six months countdown.
We're doing this
every week.
Indeed. I quite like it when people say, Tunisia, well, you know, obviously, we played them in 98. Well, they'll have a different side.
Yeah.
we don't know anything about them, okay?
I mean, at the risk of ruining my already terrible reputation, I've done, as we all have, about 600 football podcasts, and I can't tell you a single Panama player.
Yeah, Torres, who scored the winning goal, I think. Well remembered.
Will
the Panama grandma be there? The one who was time wasting, didn't she hold on to the ball? Is that right?
I hope so.
Do you remember when all the
Panama grandma is not real? That's Pete Dawson's video.
At least probably Panama Grammar.
Yeah. Well, do you remember when the ball boys were like smashing the ball away when they when then they last qualified, they needed to win. Mm. I thought maybe I might be getting my wires crossed here, but I thought there was like a grandmother who like held onto the ball and they had to get the ball wrestled off or something.
Did Eden Hazard come on his kicker?
Yeah, quite possibly. Anyway, now,
ooh, all right.
What was that?
That's, whoa!
That is the going for gold drum.
That sounds like that's the start of a Middle Eastern jingle.
For whom the bell tolls, yeah. Marcus Speller.
There we are. It's time for going for gold, Peter.
It is time for going for gold, Peter. Let me just press this button. When they're going
for going for gold. There it is.
Ready.
I've come back to take my crown after Thomas Gravesen last week.
What crown is that?
I got that after the first clue.
Did you? Yeah. Well, you weren't here, though, so it doesn't count.
I shouted it, but you didn't hear me.
Did you read the email?
James Quinn. Thank you, James Quinn, for this a nomination and this set of clues. Good luck, gentlemen.
Why don't you explain to people how the game works? Just
It's basically like Jermaine Genesis' quiz that he does on Friday Night Five Live.
It's funny, that, isn't it? Yeah.
And he basically he reveals he reveals a clue about a mystery footballer, and then the other panellists and you've got a guess.
I like it. So if you're familiar with that, you'll be familiar with this. Yeah. I mean, I like Jermaine Genus. I think he's all right, or Genus as we have to call him now. But I just don't know where he gets his ideas from.
The name there was that was Sam Allardyce style dig. That was
no, it was Ferguson on Wenger.
All right,
yeah, no, it wasn't. I like Genus, but he's a rip-off merchant. Go on.
I was born on the 16th of September 1965.
Okay. That makes him 52.
Ooh, la.
Cheers.
Just helping you out.
Oh, and it did.
That would have taken me ages.
Stop. Is it Stuart Pearce?
It's not Stuart Pearce.
No. All right.
I am a World Cup winner.
Stop. Lothar Matthäus.
It's not Lothar Matthäus.
Stop. Roberto Baggio, who hasn't won the World Cup.
Yeah, I'll waste him again.
Stop. That's a Churchich. That's getting out of the way.
I made 42 appearances for my country, scoring 16 goals.
Stop. Oh, I forget his first name, mate. That's poor. Thomas Litbarski.
No.
Stop. It's not Stefan Kvaratskhelia.
No.
He wouldn't be that old.
Oh, no, yeah, he wouldn't be that, yeah.
Great guess, though. Always nice to think about Kvaratskhelia.
He certainly wasn't joint top scorer in Euro 92 with 3 goals. I know that much.
Oh, stop. Oh, no, it can't be. He won the World Cup. No, forget it.
Stop. Jürgen Klinsmann.
Incorrect. I have played...
Oh, I should have got...
Why bang the table again? I have played in the Bundesliga, Serie A, and the Premier League.
Come on, stop. Andres Bremer.
What? Incorrect. Played in the Premier League?
Did he? Oh, Premier League. I didn't hear Premier League. Silly me.
Silly me.
What a waste of a guess.
It's funny because when we do these sorts of things, I reckon like a lot of our younger listeners, the names we react, they have no idea who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
Andres Bremer. If you're under the age of like 25, there's no way you know Andres Bremer.
Andres Bremer scored a winning goal in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
It's not that out of left field, is it?
I just found the youth of today, mate.
All right.
I'm a Champions League winner, scoring twice in the final I played in.
Stop. It's got to be Karl-Heinz Riedler.
Correct, Karl-Heinz Riedler.
Boom! Moore's back!
I retired in 2001 after helping Fulham win Division 1.
Yeah.
I know, because I knew it.
Yeah. I know it. I know. One clue from the end.
He is so pleased, ladies and gentlemen.
And before we go, Marcus, the pound will buy you 87.07 Indian rupees.
Oh, so it's on the up. Let's get ourselves over there, gentlemen. What about the RuPauls? That's a more important one.
I don't know.
The RuPauls.
RuPauls.
The RuPauls.
RuPauls Drag Race.
The RuPauls.
From SouthAmericanFootball.co.uk.
That is a niche joke.
That is a niche joke.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Andreas Bremer.
How's your luck? How is your luck, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having Luke Moore return.
Yeah, we'll be back with On the Continent on Wednesday, and then the previous show will be out first thing Friday morning, as per.
It's been lovely having you, Jim Campbell, here.
Thank you.
It's been great having you, Pete Donaldson, here.
It's been all right, hasn't it? How have you enjoyed yourself, Marcus?
It's been lovely. It's time to go.
All right.
There we are.
This is a groove.
It's time to go.
I'm enjoying the groove.
Sing along.
You having it?
Yeah.
Have a freestyle, Moore.
It's like a montage at the end of a movie.
I didn't realise there was so much of an intro on this one, to be honest.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah, no, keep it on.
Just keep it on? All right.
Does anyone else know what's happening?
Tell you what's happening. Someone's taking a bass guitar for a walk, Jim Campbell. That's what's happening.
Come on. We're at the chorus now.
Peter, you're a DJ. You shouldn't talk over the lyrics.
It was Exile's Kiss You All Over.
There we are.
Covered by the late, great Cilla Black. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra. It's Graham with an elongated bass intro.
Donaldson. Let's talk about this bloody draw because I'm excited.
Come on, the World Cup draw happened. It's real again. Another one.
Gary Lineker. Oh, Gary Lineker was hosting, wasn't he?
Our Gary Lineker.
Yeah. Diego Maradona.
That's not going in, is it? You're just playing with fire, brother.
Oh, I want to kiss you all over. Kissing your eyes,
I wanna kiss you,
kissing
all
your
over.
Ears, and I'm kissing your,
I kiss you
away
all
your
over.
Ears.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.